Oh, okay.
Without this one.
Oh, hey. Oh, we gotta turn off that thing.
Okay.
All right, is it? Yeah, da-da.
It's the big one.
Oh, turn it off.
What?
No way.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, seriously.
That's wonderful.
I'm gonna turn this around here for a minute.
So you're like 4 and a half. I mean, you got 40 and then a half. 20, that's true. Almost a double.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a great day. So we're just, I'm going to talk a little bit, and then we're going to have a worship, and then I'll be back and talk a little bit more. Actually, we're going to engage and be interactive today. But I wanted to cue it up a little bit from what we discovered last week. So last week we actually had, we laid out visually, creatively, what it's like to walk through the tabernacle, using that as an access point into God's presence, into heaven. This is one of the screens I used from the brazen altar, sacrifice and confess, the brazen laver, the bronze laver, cleansing and forgiveness, what Jesus has done on the cross, table of showbread, the seven spirits of God, which are on the lampstand, which we kind of highlighted. Remember, we highlight, I'll show you what it looked like. And then we came to the ark. We had that set up front here. I took some photographs. That's what the room looked like last week. I thought that would help us instead of resetting it up again. And so remember, I described the seven spirits, the best way that my creativity could actually highlight them was that they were sentinel type beings, energy orbs that were, when I walked through the tabernacle, they felt alive. And remember, because when you learn this, you walk through and you walk through by faith and you have a blindfold on. Literally, because you don't know. It says the scripture is enough for us to access it. And until we actually walk through it by faith, then our seeing starts to unfold. And then I got a cool picture from this end, backwards, from the Ark of the Covenant. There it is. I thought that was cool going the other way. And we have the little bone poof over there to represent one of the seraphim. And remember, because Lucifer fell, the other side is empty, and that's where we take our place as sons. And we look into the revelation of God. We look into the mercy seat. We look into Jesus, and all that takes place there. It was cool. It was really fun to do. So, I think that. All right. Oh, just a minute. No, don't go yet. I wanted to go back. So, to try to set up, we've learned when we encounter, and so there was a lot of things that happened last week. We did a lot of sharing, a lot of conversation. We asked questions. There were dreams that were placed on the table. And so I have continued to encounter the seven spirits of God in a way. And I had this week a 3-day encounter every night. I asked how I could go, how can you sleep? Sometimes I would go, how can you sleep? And the reason why I'm showing that is that To set it up with you a little bit, it is on, I'd have to look which day it started. Was it Monday? I think it was Monday. Or was it Sunday night? And I have this, sometimes I like to watch a movie, you know, and I crawl into bed, and we have all the devices that you can just watch a movie while you're lounging in bed, trying to kind of, you know, unwind your brain. And there has been a ballet series that I've watched and I've enjoyed because I just really like ballet and dance a lot. And so I was watching it, and all of a sudden, a white butterfly flew between me and my iPad. My head's on the pillow, flew through there, and I went, immediately my thought was, shoot, how come that stupid summer big white moth got in the house, you know? Seriously, it was that right there in front of me. I'm laying there. Oh, it's one of them those, you know, white moth. And so it caught my attention, and I followed it. I am wide awake. I'm well aware that I am in my bed. And it flies in front of me, and it changes into a dove, and flies back past my window, and all of a sudden lands in a tree. And I go, oh, there's a tree in my bedroom. So I knew, oh, okay, we're here. And then I looked, and my whole ceiling, which is about the same height as this, is not a very tall ceiling, was alive, and there were faces in it. And I am looking at you like I'm looking at you here, and the faces were looking at me, moving all around my ceiling, looking at me. And it was so interesting, I literally went like this. I'm not kidding you. What do you do? Seriously, I waved my hand at them and went, okay, and I kept watching. I went, oh my gosh. Well, that happened the next night.
The
butterfly to the thing was just to get my attention, like, hello, Kristen,
okay.
You know, pay attention here. And it happened that way. And on the third night, am I ready to, did I tell that part? Oh, so I'm looking at my notes here. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I'm just going to be really transparent. It was a challenging week spiritually, and I felt it emotionally. And I had a mentoring session on Tuesday, and I asked for a live bus right there on the spot. So I had an impromptu live bus, and something huge just like whoosh, up. So that tells you if I just say, oh, you know, I can sense. We got to do something about this. And that only intensified. So that is my problem solving thing. Is just like, we have a lie bus because something is going on. I'm not believing. I'm believing a lie. And that needs to be gone. And it was amazing. And so come the third night, and these beings are in my room. And so one of them, and they don't know how to explain to you, but they're very ethereal, and they're moving around, and they're wispy, yet you get a face that looks at you, and they're just everywhere. And I knew it was the seven spirits. Then all of a sudden, one which appeared male, came over by the window, and he turned upside down like you were floating and doing the backstroke. So when you look at them, it's like they're swimming in air, I guess, if you were to try to describe something that's mystical. And so he flipped over, and I go, wow, he's looking like he's doing the backstroke there. And I go, huh. But my whole attention, and all of a sudden I went, oh, look, he's got a book. And it was a leather-bound book, not very big. Maybe a book, and he's got a book. And all of a sudden, he was upside down, and here he's got this book, and all of a sudden he turns over, and his hand
literally has the book and he hands it to me right over Dawn. Literally a hand with a book comes to me, and I went, I didn't even hesitate, and I reached out and I grabbed it. And I'm holding it, and it's still a spiritual thing. I don't see a earthly book, but it's a spiritual thing. I've never ever reached and from that realm to this realm, and that was just amazing. And then I heard it for a while, then oh my inner being, and go, oh, we better check this, because we better do it. Before I knew, I was just put it in my spirit. So immediately then I stepped into heaven and I said, before I put this in my spirit, I gotta, you know, I need to do a little bit of groundwork. And so then I went to the Father and I went to the Ark and I stuck and I said, Lord, I'm just making sure that this is totally of you and I'm supposed to put it into my being. So that's what I knew what to do. And I ran it and I stepped it through the Ark of the Covenant. Not a problem. I said, okay, well, let's double check it. Let's go up next to the throne of grace, which is the river of fire, because I want anything that is not from you to be burned off. And it would burn if it wasn't from God. And I walked through the river of fire with this book and said, okay, it's good. See, so I do spiritually check my encounters. And so then I had this book and I put it into my spirit. And no, I didn't really feel anything emotionally, but I knew it was in there. I went, okay, wow, I'm going to get back to that. So at that particular time, and I knew that it was the spirit of mind that gave me the book. I just knew. I couldn't tell you from scripture or anything. I just knew it was the spirit of mind that I had the encounter with. So the week kept going on, and it seemed like, gosh, do you ever feel like you're dragging something behind you? And I was oversensitive, and I just went, what is going on? And I'd already had a live bus, and I'm just going, so I was putting together the music and singing. And so the music that I chose today for worship is what I would call hymns. And they're all, you all recognize them. I can't remember the last time he sang them, but this is kind of how I felt. That I was working really hard to undistract myself. I was doing all the things that I know to do to, gosh, just like, you know, and repent, and all those things that we know to do just to do a spiritual walk as you're pressing against something, right? And so that's explaining to you. So I thought, well, these songs, and he goes, yes. And so I wanted to share with you these particular songs because I really sense that God is going to do some work in the spirit here today. Because I know about the book. But there's something that we have to do first, and we're going to go through, and then I'm going to show you about the book. So we're going to turn this off, John, and then we're going to worship a bit. Oh, there's just something about that surrender process, you know? It just seems, even if I know, okay, just go throw yourself down, surrender soon, there's still some working and wrestling that's got to go on in the heart. It's awesome. God is good. God is so good. I am excited about our next little part here. Very excited. So, oh, just a minute. You keep rushing on me. So, to cue you back in, worship was good. So sometimes just those old, that's why they call them a hymn, because it's a human song, a hymn. It's derivative of the word human. So it's like, sometimes you just need to, this is how I feel, this is how I, you know, you just need to get in and surrender that.
trying to remind myself. Oh, so this morning it was literally about 7:45. Quarter to seven. I usually jump in the shower about 7 o'clock, so I'm here by 8, right? So it's 7:45, and I had a pretty much a blank screen across my face. I went, well, you know, it's not as if I haven't come before, and so you can fill somebody else's mouth with a word, right? But you know, it just kind of like, usually I have some kind of framework that's going, something's going to go on, or you know, that it'll get pregnant somewhere, you know, but. Nope, it was still like 7:45. I went, Lord, I'd like a word. Do you know sometimes he's been giving you a whole, through the whole week, a whole word? And you just don't put it together. And so this morning I'm sitting out there, and it's just about the time, and I'm sitting in my backyard. And I had my iPad with me. Are you gonna work? No? Come on. Is it going? Oh, I hit it. I shouldn't hit it again.
Yep. There you go. Oh, you didn't see him. You can't hear him. I don't know why you can't hear him.
Turn it up. I want you to hear him.
So I think because I don't have it hooked on that, so I'm going to turn it up here so you can hear him.
You guys all spot in there in the center?
Well, he was. He's gone.
He was. He's
oops, go back.
There you go.
Yeah, no.
Is it going yet?
Not going yet.
Okay, I have to touch it.
Turn up your iPad. It's blind.
He's right up above me. He's sitting there and he's hovering like he's going to die for something. And so I grabbed my, oh, look, and I had to grab my iPad. I'll play it one more time.
The iPad makes it that my video seems like it's farther away, but it felt much closer. Oh, go back and quit that.
Literally hovering
above
it, and I'm looking and I'm going, I think this is a sign or something. You know, you just kind of like, oh, help me, God. Help me, God.
So I looked at my whole week. I looked at last week. I looked at the things that we brought together corporately last week. And then this Osprey who comes up and looks like he's hovering because he's going to die from something. So remember last week, we walked through that tabernacle. How many of you practiced that at home this week? Good. Very good. I encourage more of you to practice it. By faith, take out your Bible, crack it open in Exodus, and literally walk through it step by step. But one of the most important things, so remember in the before picture when you walk through and you engage all those things, you're engaging the seven spirits of God here, which is the lamp, we're the lampstand, we're the church, we actually have the structure that holds the flame, which is the seven spirits. And that's what I had encountered in the beginning of the week. And what is the purpose for encountering the seven spirits of God is there are tutors. They are our tutors for when we get to the ark. Right? So, tell me. So, I'm going to go back to that one. What did the children of Israel take into battle? What did the enemies always steal?
The ark.
The ark.
We're learning.
And interesting thing, when they stole it, they didn't believe in God, but they knew the power of the ark. They knew that Israel could be defeated if they had the power of the ark. So everything that's conglomerated from last week, this week, we're coming through, and I knew God was teaching us corporately to go get a mandate. A mandate. And I mean, that's awesome. Okay, God? And I remember we see this bird up there hovering, like it's going to descend upon a victim. Lunch. Or breakfast, I should say. That's when I started getting a clue. I put together some of our dreams from last week, Joe's dreams last week, and what I felt like all week long. I go, geez. And my legs, I go. We have just bumped up to an end. This is, I don't think so. We bumped up to it. So, what happened when the children of Israel didn't obey the Lord's instruction when they went to war?
They lost.
So his instructions were pretty a protocol for that particular war or battle that they had to follow explicitly. Right? So that gives us a scriptural agreement to the importance of protocols. Walking through the tabernacle is just one protocol to encounter the ark. Who is the very first king that Joshua battled against? The very first battle on the other side of the Jordan. Ding, 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 ding. The king of Jericho.
Was the first
battle that they did across the other side of the Jordan. Very first one. Do you know what Jericho means? It means dubious.
What does dubious mean?
I'm going to tell you. I'm glad you asked me that. He's a king. False Holy Spirit. Dictionary.com says dubious is doubtful, marked by or occasioning doubt, a dubious reply, a doubtful quality or propriety, it's questionable, uncertain outcome, dubious in battle, wavering, hesitating in opinion, inclined to doubt.
So not too sure.
Not too sure. So, I say, I've got it, Lord. His interesting thing, in my particular live us that I had on Tuesday, I ran into a king. In Joe's dream, he ran into a giant. We are in the land. We are across the Jordan. We're not having to convince anybody to be across the Jordan. We're in their territory. But it's our inheritance. So, how many people are here today?
All of us.
Do we have more than 10?
Yeah.
Do we have more than 10? Thank you very much. How many does it take to save a city?
10.
Exactly.
We have 14.
Wow, we're more than. So, let me continue to add to. So you remember the book that I was given
in my bedroom by the spirit of Mike. I really didn't know what the book was about. I didn't know if it was speaking to some prophetic history I have. I really didn't know. Until, let me go back. I want to make sure that I... So, what day was it? Thursday. I had a dream. I've had this type of dream before. I had a dream that I was in a foreign country, Vietnam, to so speak. And my purse, don't know if it was stolen or came up missing. I've had these dreams before. Purses and shoes. Shoes and purses. Purses reflect my inheritance. Because you keep your identity in your purse. You keep your ID. You keep your money and your wallet. You keep your other important things so you can come and go. So a purse, and I'm like, okay. So immediately, I'm gonna share the whole thing. So I went, and I knew, I went, ooh. So I walked into court because I knew I had to do some repenting. Why? Because I'd given the enemy a foothold to take my purse. And that's the purpose of why the Lord was sharing my dream. So on my way, I did happen to run into a spiritual being. I ran into a giant. And this is sitting on my mountain in the spirit realm, right? And so I took care of the giant, and you're supposed to, just like David did, you cut off their head, you take their sword and their shield. Slice open their belly, and what comes out? Well, what came out was cash that should have been in my purse. And then immediately, whenever you have a conquest with a spiritual being or something, you ask the Lord, what do you want me to do with it? It's just like when they won a battle and had the spoils, they always ask the Lord, or he gave them the direction ahead of time what to do with the spoils of your conquest. So I asked, what do you want me to do? And I knew I had to trade them. And so I picked up everything. So I have a shield in the spirit and a sword of an enemy. And I have the spoil, all the cash that they carry in the spirit. Everything seems to be in your belly area. And I carried it, and I knew the Lord told me, I want you to go and trade it. So I went and I traded it. Where do we trade? On the glassy sea. And I should have pulled back up what's teaching that we went, but we have that is online about trade. So Melchizedek, who is the chancellor of the treasury room of God, which is on that particular teaching, he came out to greet me, and I go to trade all these things on the glassy sea, which is, you could say it's towards the bottom of the throne, but it's not really the bottom. It's just sits on it. And he came out and he grabbed my hand and he took me instead of just exchanging it. And he took me and we walked on the glassy sea and we walked into the mountain of the Lord. And I walked into this building or mansion or something, and there was this huge corridor I walked in, and I looked and I went, oh, look at all those shields and swords. And they were all hanging on the corridor of this place that he took me in. And I'm looking and I went, oh. And you know, what did I just trade it? I went, look at that. I mean, it looked like I was looking in, oh, I don't know, Renaissance period or even older, you know, the knights, and they walk into this lobby of this big house, and here's these shields and these swords. And I'm looking and all, I'm going down and go, oh my God, there's all things. All of a sudden, there's an opening, like a doorway. And I went, well, we better go in here. And I walked into there. And all of a sudden, I looked and I went, and you can, in the spirit, begin to discern what is around you. You can discern it, and you sense it and feel it even before your eyes pick it up. And look at it. Jeez, it seems like we are in like a man cave back then. There's heads on the wall of animals, you know, can you get the point? Mm-hmm. And it's just totally a man's life.
On screen TV.
Yeah, on screen, it's just like, no, they didn't have that. No on screen TVs. And it's just like, whoa, I am in a serious bathroom. I'm like, oh, I'm in the world. And I notice there's a big oval table in the center of it. And I'm just, and there's people there, and they, hi, how you doing? And I didn't get any of their faces because I'm so enthralled with this room. I'm looking, and there's heads, and you can see all the history of these battles, and it's just the coolest room, right? And on the other side was a glass library case. And that's where I'm going, oh, I don't know, this glass library case. I'm really ignoring the people that are in the room. Look at all those leather-bound books. There's one missing. I had to tell you all that so that you would understand that book, which the Spirit might give me, was from that
word.
At that point in the time, I knew I was supposed to sit down at the table. I sat down at the table, and I opened up, and it seemed like a blank journal, right? And this is a strategy table. And I knew there were other kings sitting around me. I didn't see their faces. I sensed that we would recognize them through scriptures, the ones who did mighty battles. And all of a sudden, I flipped open that leather bound and looked on the first page, and all of a sudden, in my spirit, I knew everything. And all of a sudden, he goes, which ones did Joshua battle? Which ones came through? The kings. He goes, which was the first one? Jericho. And I saw on each page, Jericho, Ai. I saw us going through on every page I was supposed to go through and conquer those kings. That's what we're going to do today. We're going after Jericho. The king of Jericho. And why are we going after the king of Jericho? Why? Where's my little thing? Okay. Do any of you need justice in your life?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyone just need justice? How do you get justice?
Court.
By having a judgment first. You can't get justice without a judgment. Hence, the natures of God. Unless there's a ruling, he cannot give out justice. The importance of a government system is so that justice can happen for the things that God has placed on our hearts. So, I am going to take us into this.
Could you repeat that one more time? Okay. The reason for government.
The reason for government and the court system is justice cannot be handed out until a judgment has been rendered.
Okay.
So that's justice, judgment, and holiness are God's, are God's natures. Because see, we're made up body, soul, and spirit. Jesus is way, truth, life. Holy Spirit is righteousness, peace, and joy. And the Holy Ghost, they all have three skins. So the Father's three, a government of three in their makeup, is judgment, justice, and holiness. So in that, there's some justice, and I knew for the distraction of the weak, that to get the justice, to actually write the mandate, that I needed to get a judgment first. And the judgment is not just about Kristen, it's about us corporately, and it's about our city. We have been recognized by an enemy. So, I'm going to lead you through. And what I would like you to do is we're looking for agreements
you can say in your spirit, agreement, oh yes, maybe this has happened in my life. Or yes, as an agreement that it's happened in the territory. Because both apply. Both apply. If we were going to take a case, so I have a case here, and we're going to take a case corporately before the Lord so that we can receive justice. Okay? And so, so, Father God, I thank you, and we come before you as an ecclesia, as the governing body of the Most High God. I honor this house. I honor the kings. I honor you, Jesus, as our mediator. And we come forth before you, and Father God, I bring a case regarding justice to you today. We bring this as an ecclesia. That there has been a false Holy Spirit, that there has been a dubious spirit that has been distracting us and has been in the way. Now what I'm going to do is I looked up, obviously, on dictionary.com the word dubious and what it meant, and then I looked up all the adjectives and all the synonyms that were with it. So I have all the names of the accusations. Because I don't need to call the accuser in because we are in the court of kings. The higher court. So when I list these things off, we're going to repent for them corporately. Again, you can look at it from a corporate perspective. As has this ever been done in the region, in the area of the influence that God has set us to govern? And I also want you to allow the Holy Spirit to talk to your heart, too. Because there's going to be two things that happen today. You're going to get some freedom today. So if I name any of these things, and it bears witness not only corporately and personally, would you just make a point to say, Father, I'm sorry, in your spirit, out loud, wherever you are. Okay? So, Father God, we repent for being dubious, for partnering with the dubious spirit, for partnering with the king of Jericho. We repent for being arguable, for being chancy, for being debatable, disputable, for partnering with being far-fetched or fishy, hesitant or iffy. Improbable, indecisiveness, being perplexed, being problematic, things that are questionable, being reluctant, shady, skeptical, suspect, suspicious, touch and go. We repent. We repent for partnering with trustlessness, being unassured, uncertain, unclear, unconvinced, undecided, undependable, unlikely, unreliable, unsure, untrustworthy, wavering, doubtful, mistrustful, obscure, unsettled, and disconnected. We repent for partnering with all of these that are attached to a dubious spirit. We repent. We break agreement with them and the power that they've had over us in Jesus' name. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We ask that the blood of Jesus come in and close And we put the blood of Jesus over every opening of the enemy. We ask that the blood of Jesus would come and cleanse every opening that the enemy has used. Thank you, God. Father God, I ask for a divorce decree from all of these accusations. That you would divorce us from them, that you would divorce them from our ancestors, divorce them from the history of this region, that you would divorce us from them personally, and you divorce them from our bloodline and our DNA as an ecclesia. And Father God, we stand before you and we ask for a judgment. And this is the cool part. Whenever we get to the point of asking for a judgment, that's where Jesus just like, I won the battle, I am so. And he comes in and puts his blood over everything. It's so awesome. And Father God, I ask that justice and judgment be upon our enemies. Always like when you have a decree, the other part becomes a mandate. Because now you step into your authority and you release that which was stolen, that which is changed, that which is released. And it's assigned to our area angels. And I'd like to invite Susan up because we have it, it's already written. And I want you to envision, when we say this declaration together, all of that is being recorded in heaven by our voice of agreement. And Susan is going to lead us through. And then when we're through the end of that, then we'll seal it up and sign it and all that kind of good stuff. So if you would stand, because this is pretty cool.
Declaration over us from our Father. So take in as much as you can, let it sink into your heart, and declare it like you mean it. So we'll go, I'll do the first line so you can hear how about the speed we're going to go. Father, you declare this over me. So about like that. Ready? Go. Father, you declare this over me. I declare you are my beloved Son, and I am well pleased with you. I call you my child. I am your Father, you are mine, and I am yours. I legitimize you as my child. I call forth your spiritual destiny. I call your spirit to attention. Listen with your spirit to the words that I, your heavenly Father, have for you. The spirit of your Father gives witness to your spirit that you are my son. I bless your spirit with the spirit of sonship and mindset of sonship. I bless you with a deep heart identity as my very own child, securely loved in my family. I bless you with the settled assurance that I have a future and hope for you. I have written your days in my book with love for your best interest and my ultimate glory. I bless you with the deep knowledge that I know what you need and I have all the resources of the universe to meet that need. Listen with your spirit to my words for you. My spirit testifies to your spirit that you are my child. I bless you with the ears to hear the testimony of the Spirit of the Lord, the spirit of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, the spirit of counsel, power, and the fear of the Lord. I bless you with being tuned into me, with eyes for seeing, ears for hearing, and the mind for understanding according to the Spirit. I bless you with being led by the fullness of my Spirit of truth, to see things as I see them in the heavenly realms. I bless you with the deep knowledge that you are an heir with your brother Jesus, to all my treasures. I bless you with the confidence that you lack for nothing that you need, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, and practically. I bless you with the sure understanding that I want you to have my blessings and my glory to possess your birthright. I bless you with the desire to press forward to see the glory that I am revealing. I bless you with a heart that does not rebel or shrink back from the opportunities I put before you daily. I bless you with a hunger for the manifestation of my glory day by day in you and through your life. I declare that you are no longer a slave, an orphan, or a victim. I declare that you are mine and I am yours. I am your inheritance, and you are my inheritance. I declare that I am your father, and you are my son. I give you access to your heavenly home. I give you access to the river of the tree of life. I call you to be a gateway of heaven on earth. You are my child, and I call you to be displayed as a mature son on the earth.
Written.
Amen.
Woo!
That's good. You may be seated.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
That was a full meal deal.
Yeah, so Father God, we thank you that today, in our time, the today's the 21st? Mm-hmm. June 21st, 2015, in our timetable, the first day of summer, Father's Day. We thank you, and we ask, we record this in heaven. And Father God, we hand this mandate, this decision, this justice, we hand it to Douglas, the angel of the house. We hand it to Winds of Change, Transformation, Refiner's Fire, and Sounds of Many Waters. We hand this to you, and we send you forth to implement this in every area of our life and in our region, in our area of influence. We release you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. I'm going to leave this on because you guys always have really good questions and I turn it all off.
I had a strange dream, and it might kind of be in correlation with yours. It was either Thursday or Friday. I don't remember which day. But I was somewhere I'm not normally, and I had a purse with me that I never carry, but I recognized the purse. It was a white kind of leather purse. It was kind of small, and it kind of would change from scene to scene, and I was in unfamiliar places. Well, somehow I got home, and I didn't have my purse with me, and so I went to retrace all of my steps, and I couldn't find it. And Joe came home, and inside the purse had been a little pouch. It was like gold. And he didn't find the purse, but he found the little pouch. But I didn't really know the little pouch was in there. But when I opened the little pouch, it had princess clothes and all these things. And what I took it as is, this is who I really am in this pouch. Now, I took it as they could steal, somebody could think they're stealing the outside of me, my identity. That all can be replaced because I'm really the person in the pouch. But anyway, so that's kind of how it ended. And it was kind of weird because you had mentioned something similar. Mine's more simple.
It's our inheritance.
Yeah.
And yes.
And nobody can take that away from you.
Nobody can.
So if you have dreams quite a bit about losing your poops, does that mean that you're feeling like you're losing your identity?
Yeah, that means that, you're in a spiritual battle for your identity. Mm-hmm. Remember when Jesus was taken out to the wilderness? What was the whole thing about? If you're the Son of God. So he's constantly asking us, if you're the Son of God, if. And if we question that, a lot of times it shows up in our dreams that we'll be wrestling with that. And why are we wrestling with it? Because there's an enemy that's proposing the question. Great questions. Thank you for sharing, Sandy.
It makes total sense to me now that all my whole life I have had this sense about me that, not that I think about it all the time, but I just have this sense about me that I can't lose my purse. I've got to hang on to my purse. I have got to watch over my purse. And in fact, there was a point where I thought, now that is really stupid. I'm going to try to get rid of my purse, you know, just hone it down so that I have just a little bit of things. And I've never been able to do that, to hone it down so that I have, you know, this little pack or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and I've not ever really lost my purse, but it's like this obsession to me that I have to not lose my purse. Mm-hmm. And now I know why. Mm-hmm. And now when I look back at that, just from a spiritual point of view, how I fought for my identity for years and years and years. It's been important to me to realize who I am in Christ and how to walk it out. And it's important to me to tell other people, you know, he loves you so much, you know, to get them that identity.
So for the next, I didn't count how many kings. So for the next Sundays until we go through all of the kings, because what I sensed at that strategy table is we take out the kings, the ones that do the dirty work, the ones that hold the territories, it'll unman the others.
Kristen?
Yes?
It's interesting because years and years ago I felt like I had a prophetic word for one of my nieces, and the prophetic word was that her inheritance was to receive the 31, what those 31 kings were,
mm-hmm.
the opposite of what they stood for.
Yes.
It's a very deep, rich mm-hmm. inheritance.
Oh, it is.
Now, I think I had 31 of them.
Yeah.
Or close to that.
Mm-hmm. So we're just going to follow that. Mm-hmm. There might be other things with it. But today, I was so excited because this is the first time that as I feel like we have stepped into our responsibility as an ecclesia. Mm-hmm. Yes, Julie.
I had a very weird dream last night. It's a little clearer now. It was, there was a bunch of us. I didn't see it as us, but I think it probably was. We were like in a store, and we were putting a store together, or we're doing something in the store. We had valuable little things we were kind of hiding under things. And all of a sudden, here comes people that are like against us, and they're after us. And we thought they were for our things, valuable things we were hiding. And all of a sudden, they realized, no, we're after you guys. And we scattered. And there was a band of them, and there was a band of us. And we scattered, and of course then the rest of the dream was just what I was dealing with, and this dark-haired woman, she just looked at me. It was like, whoa, she's not after what I'm hiding, she's after me. And we all realized that we were the ones, the targets. And I quick went, first I was hiding, we were all hiding, and I thought, no, I'm going to be offensive here. And I'm going to I'm gonna, you know, so like, what are you after? Goes, oh, well, come up to my place and stuff. And I'm going, I knew that this was the enemy. So I just went through espionage type thing. And I was in her house. She took me up somewhere to her room. It was like a condo. And I felt like I was in espionage. And I knew who I was. But I'm just kind of going, huh. And then it was very interesting because nothing was handled or anything, but I left her place. And then it was in this big building. It was like she was on a condo in the big building. And then I went down many, many stairs to go like out the building. And then I woke up and I'm thinking, ooh, I don't like the fact that I went downstairs and I had to go up to hers. And I that's been making me very uncomfortable. And now I realize we've been found out. And we're targeted. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. What you just described sound like Rahab.
It does.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And Rahab was the one. Her condo was in Jericho. So yes, you felt like a spy.
Yeah. Jane Bond.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt like a James Bond.
Jane Bond.
Jane Bond.
Julie
Jane
Bond.
Julie Bond.
Wow.
Julie Bond.
So, yeah, the reputation of the woman, but she was.
Yeah, of course, Rahab was a good person. This one was like.
Mm-hmm. She was questionable. She had a questionable reputation.
Mm-hmm. But she didn't do anything evil. But
no.
She just.
But she wanted to, she wanted to be part of what the spies were doing. She knew the history of the orc, and they knew because they said it was fearsome.
Mm-hmm.
Fearsome. So remember when she made the deal with them that her family would be saved,
mm-hmm.
and Joshua made a covenant there.
Mm.
He said, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. The Lord just
mm-hmm.
wins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to turn this off now, John. Great question. Thank you.